my heart from hour to hour, so that I may see I triumph only hour. May the peace of God my Father rule my life in everything, that I may be gone to comfort sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea, in exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. May His beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channel seen.
Chris, not the
recording on, so all of you were.
Well, thank you, Courtney. Appreciate that. Okay, well, let's pray, and we'll continue with our series in the Epistle to the Colossians. Father, we thank you for the day. We're thankful for our position in Christ and for the potential that we have to put that position into practice. We're thankful for your word and how your spirit illumines us to its truths, and we just ask your blessing now through your word in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, today we're going to pick back up in our study in the book of Colossians. And last week we finished up the section looking at Paul's appreciation for the Colossians expressed in Colossians 1:3 through verse 8. And so Paul expressed his appreciation for the Colossians as they were practicing the Christian life. He expressed appreciation for the teaching of Epaphras and the things that the Colossians learned from Epaphras, and the love that was being manifested as a result. And so today we're going to move into this next section in the outline of Colossians 1:9 through 14, where we have Paul's communication for the Colossians. And so we're going to split this into two messages. And so we'll look at 1:9 through 1:11 today. And next week, Lord willing, we'll pick up in verse 12 and look at 12, 13, and 14. And so Paul, in communication for the Colossians, as we move to verse 9, here Paul communicates for the Colossians that the will of God would be fully known. And so that the will of God would be fully known. So we're going to consider some things about the will of God this afternoon. And so when we come to the text in Colossians 1:9, it says, "For this cause we also..." Now, in the Greek, this is just dia tuto for our Greek students. I'd like to translate this "on account of this." On account of this, looking at the previous context. And so let's pick up in verse 8. He's talking about Epaphras, "who also declared unto us your love by the Spirit." And so they were manifesting agape love, and it was by the Holy Spirit. So as we come to verse 9, Paul says, "On account of this also, we, from the day we heard, do not cease on behalf of you, just praying and asking that you might be filled with the full experiential knowledge of the desirous will of Him in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, Pastor Dave wasn't too long ago, just probably a few weeks ago, was in this context, and it's not going to hurt us to be here again. And so when Paul says, on account of this also, we, from the day we heard. So Paul had to hear. He had to hear about their love that was being manifested and shown to all of the saints. Because Paul didn't probably know most of these believers in Colossae. And we can see that. Let's go back to Colossians 1:4. You see that he heard. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all of the saints. And so Paul probably heard this from Epaphras. Remember, Epaphras was the one, he was probably the pastor. But in verse 7 he says, as ye learn from Epaphras. And so the Colossians learned from Epaphras. And I believe in the context what he's talking about is they learned the gospel for present tense salvation. How to live the Christian life. How to have victory over the sin nature. How to direct an aspect of the fruit from the Spirit, agape love, as they were filled. And so as they learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Now remember, Paul also is going to say in chapter 2, in verse 1, he says, for I would that ye knew what great conflict, or great struggle, I have for you and them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. And so Paul had knowledge of these Colossians practicing the Christian life, putting things into practice, and fulfilling the new commandment to love one another. But he had to hear about it. He had to hear about it. And so Paul, from the day he did hear about it, though, see, Paul didn't need to know a saint personally to be remembering them in his communication to the Father. It was a common practice for Paul in his communication, in his worshiping communication to the Father, to be remembering the saints, and he was thankful for them. And here he says, I do not cease on behalf of you. And so here's a who pair, Bob. There's a who pair here.
Who cares?
Okay, we got some work to do.
Forgive me.
So he does not cease on behalf of them. For you. This is how the King James translated, for you. It's our hooper, on behalf of you, or for your sake. He says, praying. And this is our word, and we looked at this word in the past, praying. The idea of praying prayers of worship, worshiping. The idea of repeating back to God what He has said about Himself, giving Him His full weight. So here you see Paul. We get a glimpse into Paul's communication with the Father, and so Paul is he's continuously worshiping God. He doesn't sign off, and in so doing, while he's worshiping, he's also asking on behalf of these Colossians that they might be filled. And so here's the word, and Pastor Dave's been pivoting off of for a number of weeks, that they might be filled. And so this is a passive. It's a passive subjunctive. And so here's a passive that's they're going to be filled. Somebody else is going to do the filling, and they're going to be filled with something. And it's a subjunctive, which means it's a possibility. It's a possibility that you might be filled. And he says, with the full experiential knowledge. And the King James just translates it knowledge here. And so if you were reading the King James, you would lose a little bit from the translation of what's being communicated through the Greek. That you'd be filled with the full experiential knowledge of the desirous will of Him. The idea of being filled with the full experiential knowledge. And so remember knowledge. Now, it's just bring this to mind is remember that there was a heresy in this Lycus Valley. And this heresy pivoted off of an intellectual way of living. We can refer to it as a form of Gnosticism. And that Gnosticism taught that they had a love of philosophy, a love of wisdom. And how that could negatively affect a Christian is to think that you could go out and add to your salvation through philosophy, world system wisdom, that you could become a better Christian. And so Paul is going to address that here, and he wants them, though, to be filled with the full experiential knowledge of his desirous will, the will of God. And so I want to comment on a few things dealing with the will of God. And I hope that the will of God is something that's a priority for all of us. And that is the will of God is definitely something. He was coming right at me. I saw this wasp coming right towards me. He veered off. but the will of God is something we certainly can know. And then as we know and we put that into practice, we can gain experiential knowledge of that. And as we continuously do that, as we ongoingly do that, we can have a full experiential knowledge of the will of God for us. And so, just for a couple examples of this, when we're talking about the will of God, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2. And we can see that the Christian has the potential to live in the will of God. We do have the potential to live in the will of God. And so the will of God isn't just some pie in the sky. In 1 Peter, I hope I said Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, let's read verses 1 also, but I want 4-2. Therefore then, as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, and that is a hooper there, on behalf of us, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, the same, we'll translate it, contents of mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, the strong desires of men, but to the will of God, the will of God. And so the believer certainly has the potential to live the remaining time that we would have here in the will of God. Now, it's not something that we can do on our own. We don't, we shouldn't just live in our own desirous will and then expect or ask God that would be His will also. It works a little differently than that. Now, if we go back to Colossians, in Colossians 4:12, I just want to touch on that verse, because we've mentioned Epaphras. And you see Epaphras, he had a great care for these believers. I believe that's the kind of care that a pastor would have for his flock. And you see here in 4:12 that Epaphras has a desire for them to be living in the will of God. And here it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, just out from you, a servant of Christ, just literally a slave of Christ, he salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, just prayers of worship. It's our same term we have over in 1:9, that you may stand perfect. And this isn't, I don't like the translation here, perfect, because this isn't perfect as in sinless perfection, but that you may stand just as mature ones. It's plural, as mature ones. So you may, and you could almost say that you may be stood, because that's a passive there, that you may stand, that you may be stood as mature ones. And then we have this translation, complete in all of the will of God. And this is a perfect passive participle. And Pastor Dave, I think, mentioned the textual problem here, but I would just go ahead and translate this here. He says that you may stand or be stood as mature ones in a state of being filled. It's a perfect passive participle, but it's in a, so being in a state of being filled in all of the will of God. And so here we, again, this idea of being filled over in 1:9 in the full experiential knowledge of His desirous will. And then here Epaphras is in his prayers of worship, he's praying here that in his prayers of worship that they may stand, though, as mature ones and ones in a state of being filled in all of the will of God. Now, when we think about the will of God and how are we going to live in the will of God? Well, God's word gives us a lot of things that deal with the will of God. But what about those areas in Scripture where Scripture is silent? Well, it's through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us knowledge of how to do or to be living in the will of God. And so we can see this when we go to 1 John. And let's go to 1 John, and we want to pick up in 2:16. And I really want 2:17 and 2:20, but I want to pick up 2:16, because your spiritual enemies are going to compete for your priority of how you want to live your life. And the will of God is involved in that. And so the world system will steer you in a direction. It'll lead you wandering, we'll use the word wandering, in a different direction than the Holy Spirit would lead you in terms of the will of God. Now, let's read John 2:16. It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life." And the pride of life here is just, I would translate this, just the empty boasting of life, concerning life. And the word life, by the way, is bios. It's physical life. So we have the empty boasting concerning physical life. It's not out from the Father as to source. It's not of the Father or just out from the Father, but is out from the world as to source. And so you have a couple ek prepositions there. Now in verse 17, we read, "And the world is passing away." It's temporary. This world system and all of its wisdom, all of its ways, it's temporary. It's passing away. And it says the lust thereof, just the strong desires thereof. But he, just the one doing the will of God, abides forever. And the idea of abides just has the idea of to remain at ease, to remain settled. That the one doing the will of God, he remains settled into the age. Not forever here, just into the age. And so the will, by the way, and so I'll just point this out, the will of God, that's in the neuter for my Greek students here. My Greek students are Greek students. And I like to be somewhat involved. but it's a neuter. And so I say that because I'm going to skip down to verse 20. And so that's important because we're going to have a neuter in verse 20 that's going to connect back to the neuter you have in verse 17. "But you have an unction," the King James reads this word, just translate anointing. "You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And so the all things is translating the neuter for all that we have in verse 20, and it goes back to the thelema, the desirous will of God here, the will of God, back in verse 17. And so this is the Holy Spirit who's going to give the knowledge, though, how to do the will of God. And so that's important. There's a lot of people that are out there trying to do the will of God. But there's one big problem. And there's a huge problem if the Holy Spirit's not involved. It's going to be somebody else's will. And so the Holy Spirit has to be involved in the will of God. Now, there's something that really needs to happen for Christians to truly be living in the will of God and be doing the will of God. And of course, we have to be spiritual. The Holy Spirit's going to need to be involved. But there's something that should be done in Romans 12:1. And so let's go to 12:1 and we'll read verses 1 and 2 here. In Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, through the mercies of God or the compassions of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And so you present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is a one-time, once-and-for-all act that all believers should do, where they determine that they're going to present their living bodies a sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so that's something that every believer should get to the point after they've believed the gospel and they're saved, that they should present and commit their living bodies as a sacrifice. It says, which is your reasonable service. It's your logical priestly service, we could say. And then in verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this age. And so, obviously, we don't know what age he's talking about if we just read the verse. But if we go back and we work the context, he's been talking about the legal age. Do not be conformed, given the outward appearance, according to this age, this legal age. But be transformed. Be metamorphed. The idea, this is a passive, be metamorphed, there's something that's going to do the metamorphosing or the transforming. Be metamorphed by the renewedness of your mind, so that you may prove. And the word prove, it comes from our Greek verb dokimazo, which means to test for approval. To test for approval. That you may prove or test for approval what is that good and well-pleasing, King James translated acceptable, but it's our word for well-pleasing, and perfect will of God. And so, again, there's no question from Scripture that a Christian can know and be doing and practicing the will of God. And this is what Paul, in his communication for the Colossians, this is what his desire is for them, is that they would be filled with the full experiential knowledge of his desirous will, he says, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so all wisdom. So this is interesting when you keep in mind the historical context of what's going on in the valley, in the Lycus Valley with this heresy. You've got these guys that they're valuing a certain kind of wisdom, a certain kind of knowledge, a love of wisdom, philosophy. But here, Paul desires that they would be filled with the full experiential knowledge of his desirous will. He says, in all wisdom. Now, remember what wisdom is. It's how to use knowledge correctly to meet the situation. And so, the knowledge in needs to be correct. If the knowledge in is incorrect, then the action out is going to be flawed as well. But remember, they had learned from Epaphras, and the result was they were loving. They were manifesting agape love. They were being spirit-filled. They were fulfilling the new commandment. They were directing it to all of the saints. And so he says he wants them to be filled to the full with this full experiential knowledge of his desirous will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. And so remember, our word spiritual, it has the idea of pertaining to or having the characteristics of. And the word understanding here just literally means to... literally means sending it together, putting it together. And so I believe this spiritual understanding and all wisdom, we have the Holy Spirit's going to need to be involved in this as the believer is spirit-filled. And so we're going to see, though, as we move on here into our next two verses, that Paul, in his communication for these Colossians, is that they would fully know the will of God. And in fully knowing the will of God, that it would affect their walk, and in their walk, as a result, would be in balance. Would be in balance. And so when we talk, when I say balance, I'm reflecting on a word that we're going to see in Colossians 1:10 that's translated worthy or worthily. It's an adverb. And let me turn to Colossians myself. In 1:10, and so here he begins to talk about the walk of the believer, and his desire and his communications for the Colossians is that this walk would be in balance. It would be worthy. It says that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the full experiential knowledge of the God. And so to walk worthily of the Lord. And so as I mentioned, this word worthy or worthily, it's an adverb. And it has the idea of balance, though. And so you've all seen a balance beam scale. Maybe you haven't, but a lot of times in courtrooms and things like that, they'll have a balance beam scale. And so in a court of law, the punishment is supposed to balance to the offense, right? And so that would be a balance, a balance of what they call justice. Well, this is kind of the idea of worthy, of imbalance. And the balance here, though, is of the Lord. So he uses the title of the Lord, the Master, the Divine Master, that their walk would be worthy of the Lord. It would be in balance with the Lord, the Divine Master. Now, this is a prominent title in this epistle, the Lord. It's used 16 times in Colossians. I can't remember now off the top of my head how many times it occurs in Ephesians, but it's even more frequently used in Ephesians per chapter than it is in Colossians. But he would be worthy of the Lord. And so we'll come back to that concept here in just a minute, but I want to take a minute and talk about walk. Walk. And so when we talk about walk, we're talking about how one goes about ordering the things generally concerning their lives. Just a walkabout. And peripateo is our Greek word. And so there should be a verse that comes to mind. This is a different verse than I would usually ask for some assistance with. But when you think of walk, what's a New Testament verse that comes to mind when you think about walk? There's one that's...
Walk by faith,
that's a good one. Walk by faith. There's one that has a double negative that I have in mind. I think I heard it. What was that? Okay, Jan did it. Nope, see?
5:16, and you will never, ever, ever, not even once.
Oh, good. Let's go to Galatians 5:16. And so... And so we have a double negative here, and we have our word for walk. And here Paul says, "This I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you shall," and our double negative, "never ever," and the subjunctive, "not even possibly fulfill," or just "bring to completion the lust." And the word lust is just a strong desire from the flesh. So we walk by the Spirit. And so it's interesting. And so when you think about that. Now, how many of you have taken a field sobriety test? Now, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. That's a rhetorical question. I should have said this is a rhetorical question before I asked. I don't really want to know. This is an illustration. But in a field sobriety test, they will usually have you walk a line, right? They want to see if you can walk in a straight line. Okay? Now, if the will of God is the field sobriety test for a Christian, the only way you're going to be able to walk that line is by the Holy Spirit. And so I just wanted, there's an interesting thing. Now, our word peripateo, but it's a different word. It's stoikeo, which just literally means to walk in a straight line, to walk in an orderly fashion. And so I like to translate it step. And so it's in Galatians 5. We're in Galatians 5:16, so that's why I decided, well, let's just go down there. In Galatians 5:25, though, now, here's a first-class condition, Ray. This is an interest. This one's not your typical because it has a subjunctive used here. But it says, "If or since we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." Let us, and so I like to translate this word "step." Step in a straight line. Let us step by the Spirit. 1 foot in front of the other. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to lead us step by step. Now, I know it's interesting because when you start thinking about the will of God and you think you've got it and you know, you can think, okay, I can see that. And I know I've been guilty of this, as I see something out in front of me and I think the will of God is for me to go do that. And I think, okay. And you can become a bonsai Christian, and it's like, okay, this is Pickett's charge, and you go charging up there. But the Holy Spirit, and that may be what God's will is for you, but you should do it step by step, step by step. And so, anyway, as we, I want to go into some of these walk verses. Now, we have four chapters in Colossians, and we have four occurrences of walk in Colossians, one in each chapter. And so let's go to Colossians, and we're just going to, and this is going to be a verse medley for Courtney. He likes medleys or melodies. And so we're going to go from Colossians into Ephesians, because in Ephesians we have eight occurrences of walk. And since Ephesians and Colossians are sister epistles. I'm going to jump back and forth a lot in this series. And so I thought, well, let's do that here for walk. And so our let's go to Colossians. Well, we have our first occurrence, of course, in Colossians. We're here today in 1:10. That the believer is going to walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing in every good work. Now let's go over to Ephesians. And so as you can hold your hand in Colossians, and then you can find Ephesians and keep a hand there, because we'll go back and forth. Let's go to Ephesians 4:1. And we find this word worthy again, that has the idea of balance. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of, not the vocation, but this is our word for calling. Remember, the calling is to salvation. That you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. Okay, let's go back to Colossians and let's read 2:6. And let's read verse 7 as well. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. So he's saying walk in Him. Order your life, the things generally concerning your life, in Him, in your position in the Lord, Christ Jesus. Verse 7, having been rooted and being built up and established by the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10? Colossians 2:6 and 7, but it was Colossians 2:6 where we have the walk in Him, as you have seen. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which the God has before prepared that we should walk in them. And so these good works, and this is agathos good, by the way. So agathos, God is the source of agathos good. And when you think of agathos good is that which brings an inner well-being and ultimately leads to happiness. And so the good works that the Christian has to do, God's previously prepared those. So we're not just left on our own to go create our own good works. We need to learn to be in the right condition, though, to be able to recognize what those are, what God has prepared for us to be involved in, good works. And so, created in Christ Jesus. And so remember that word for created has the idea, though, created something that previously wasn't there in existence. We've been created in Christ Jesus. We're part of the new man, which Paul will get to explaining over in Ephesians 2:15. And so we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, unto these good works. But these good works, the Father's previously prepared them, and we're to be walking in them, or ordering our lives in them, generally concerning them, by them. You could even translate it by them there. Now let's go over to, let's go back to Colossians and 3:7. And so let's back up a little bit. We'll back up to 3:5. Mortify, which just literally means put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, which would just be passion. Evil lust and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. In which, in verse 7, in which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. And so we had a way of walking, of ordering our lives prior to salvation. We can let's go over to Ephesians 2:2. Let's read 2:1 as well. In you has he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the age of this world, according to the prince of the authority of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. And so we had previously, prior to our salvation, to being made alive with Christ, we had a way of ordering the things generally concerning our lives. And you can see it wasn't a good walk. even if you were fairly religious or fairly good by world system standards, it wasn't a very good walk. I'm going to stay in Ephesians here for just a minute. Let's go to Ephesians 4:17. Another walk verse. He says, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And let me read that again. I'll just make a couple translation changes. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye no longer walk as Gentiles walk, in the uselessness of their mind. Let's go to Ephesians 5:2. Let's read 5:1 as well. Be ye followers, or just imitators of God, as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself. Here's a hoop pair that they translated for. As Christ has given himself on behalf of us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And Ephesians 5:8. For you were formerly times darkness. Just darkness is the absence of God's life and activity. So you were formerly times darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Light is God's quality of life and activity. Walk as born ones of life. I'm sorry, of light. Walk. Order your lives. Order the things generally concerning your life as born ones of light. Now let us go on back to Colossians and pick up in Colossians 4:5. He says, walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. The idea of wisdom is correctly applying knowledge to meet the circumstance. He says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, or just outside. Redeeming the time. The idea of redeeming is kind of buying up as in a marketplace, the time. The opportunities is kind of the idea. Let's go to Ephesians 5 now, and we'll see. In 5:15, I'm going to read down through verse 18. But in 5:15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." The idea of accurately. See that you order the things around your life accurately. Not as fools, just the idea, the word here is unwise, ones without wisdom. It's our word for wise, wise ones with an alpha privative, not as unwise ones, but as wise ones. That's how you walk accurately. Now you see the Holy Spirit's going to be involved here. He says, redeeming the time. The idea, this is our same word that we had over in Colossians, redeeming the time, buying up the time. Because the days are evil. They're malignantly evil. They want to spread. This evil wants to spread. He says, wherefore be ye not foolish or unwise. The King James translated unwise, but it's a different word. It's our word unreflectively thinking ones. It says, wherefore be not unreflectively thinking, but a strong contrast here. Understand. Understand. Be putting together what the will of the Lord is. The Lord, the divine master. Be understanding. Be putting those things together. And then in verse 18 it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is unsavingness. But be filled, and Pastor Dave will be working this passive, of course, but be filled by the Spirit. And so again, we see the Holy Spirit and the need for Him to be involved, the need for Spirit filling. And this this relates not only to being filled with the fruit from the Spirit, but in the context where we're also talking about walking accurately and understanding, having the will of God, getting those things being brought together and put together. And so it's the Holy Spirit, though, who's going to give us the knowledge, though, of how to doing the will of God. Now, as we go back to I am going to come here to Ephesians, because I want to talk about the title Lord that was used in Colossians 1:10. He said to walk. He wants them. He's communicating on behalf of these, or for these Colossians, that their walk would be balanced and that would be worthy of the Lord, the divine master. And I want to go over to Ephesians 6:5 in this context here, because how are you going to be worthy of the Lord? The Lord, He's the divine master. He's our master. We have to be spiritual, but it also deals with us serving Him. He's the master. And so over in Ephesians 6, dealing here in this context with servants and masters, in 6:5 it reads, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ. And the word that they translate servants is our word for slaves. Slaves of Christ. Doing the will of God out from the soul. Now I know your King James reads heart there, but it's soul. Doing the will of God. And so here we see that our relationship to Christ as Master, as Lord, and our yielding to Him in the Lordship of our lives relates to the will of God. And so he's saying here, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God out from the soul. And remember, soul is where we, is the seat of emotions. And so it's something that that soul can be in line, though, with the Spirit. As we're Spirit-filled, that soul can fall in line, and then those emotions fall in line. And so this isn't bootstrapping it. This is not bootstrapping. This is supernaturally enabled. And when that's happening, the soul falls in line with what the Spirit knows. And so it falls in line with what's going on in the Spirit. In the human spirit. He says in verse 7, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. And so, now I want to bring you to one other place that deals with the will of God and the idea of the Lord and serving Him. And let's go. I want to go into 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And in this context, Paul is talking about giving and Christian giving. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he has been talking about the Macedonians who were quite an example of very poor Christians that wanted to participate in this grace gift that Paul was taking up for the saints in Jerusalem. And so Paul makes a comment because they participated in this, the churches in Macedonia, and they were in pretty rough shape. And as we pick up in 2 Corinthians 8:5, now let's read. Well, in verse 3 it says, "For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying or supplicating us with much entreaty that you would receive the grace gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." And then he says in verse 5, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord, to the Master, to the head of the body, and unto us through the will of God." And so here you see that these Christians, as they gave themselves to the Lord, and then Paul says, and to us. And it was through the will of God that they gave themselves. And then in verse 6 it says, "In so much that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." And so the Macedonians were certainly an example here on how they were correctly related to Christ as Lord. And then it was through the will of God that they also gave themselves here to other believers and to Paul here. And so anyway, as we move back into our Colossians 1:10 passage, he says, as he's communicating for these Colossians, that they would walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, just into everything pleasing. And it would be pleasing unto the Lord. He says, in every good work. And so we already talked about a good work. A good work, we know that we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, agathos works, which the God previously prepared. And so here we see how this being filled with the full experiential knowledge of God's desirous will for them would also affect how they walked. And their walk would be in balance with the Lord and in everything pleasing and in every good work bearing fruit. Now, I just want to say, I mentioned that when I said good work, agathos good, that which brings an inner well-being and ultimately leads to happiness. And God is the source of agathos good. And I'm just going to demonstrate that in one place. And let's go to 3 John, verse 11. In 3 John, verse 11, they translate a word follow that we could translate it to imitate or mimic. So here John says, "Beloved, follow not," or just "imitate not that which is evil or lacking in character, but that which is good," agathos. "He that is doing good," and it's a Greek compound word with agathos and then the word for doing. And so he that is doing good, or the good doer, is out from God as the source. The ek preposition. The one doing good, or the good doer, is out from God as to source. But that he that is doing evil, or just is doing that which is lacking in character, who's in a state of doing that, lacking character, he that is doing things lacking in character and is in a state of not seeing God. But anyway, the illustration here is that the one that's doing good is out from God as to source. God is the source of Agathos good, that which brings the inner well-being and ultimately true happiness. And that relates to our good works. He's the source of our good works. Now, when he says unto all pleasing in every good work in Colossians 1:10, we come across this word bearing fruit. Now, in the context, I believe what he's talking about, this bearing fruit, happens. I believe he's talking about the fruit from the Spirit. Remember, Paul had heard of the love that they were having to all the saints. Epaphras had declared their love by the Spirit in verse 8. I think it was in verse 4, Paul said, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. He's talking about, I believe, this bearing fruit in every good work. I believe he's talking about the fruit from the Spirit. And fruit bearing is pretty important in the Christian life. And when we put position into practice and the Holy Spirit fills us with the fruit from the Spirit, then we have opportunities to be directing the different aspects of the fruit to meet the circumstance. And this is important, and it goes back to our position in Christ and Christ's position in us. And we can get a glimpse of this if we just go back to the Gospel of John in chapter 15. And I'll just read a couple of verses there. Put a couple things in mind here. But let's read, and this, of course, is in the upper room, and Christ here speaking to the 11. And in John 15:5, Christ said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, just remains at ease in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And so, putting position into practice, our position in Christ activates Christ in us. And ultimately, as we're filled by the Spirit, then Christ can be seen out. Now, if we just go over to John chapter 15 and let's read 15:8. It says, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And this is in our Greek compound word here, but you have the two words that make it our word up. He says, that you bear, though, much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And so, when he... as we come back to Colossians 1:10, and he says that they would walk worthily of the Lord and to everything pleasing and every good work, bearing fruit and growing, just being grown, being made to groan, being made to grow. Okay. If I start seeing that pew shift back there, I'm going to just look over here at this group. but it's a passive. And so bearing fruit is an active. And so bearing fruit. And so it's kind of interesting that it's the Holy Spirit who fills us. But then when we direct that fruit and we use it, then we're counted to be bearing fruit, producing fruit. And then it says, and growing, just being made to grow. This is a passage. Something else is causing the growth. We don't grow ourselves, but we can allow ourselves to grow. And so it's kind of interesting when you think about it and you think how things work is, you know, Pastor Dave has been talking about these passives, and it's important. You know, and when we get our mind in the right place and we allow ourselves to be passive, then we get to be active. And then God's the source of our activity. So we have to be passive to be active. And so he says here, and just being made to grow in the full experiential knowledge of the God. And so here we see this is what, this growth. It's in the full experiential knowledge of the God. And so this is the same. In 1:9, we had this word for full experiential knowledge of God. Remember, in 1:9, he said that you might be filled with the full experiential knowledge of His will. In 1:6, we had the verb. It says, when he was talking about the word of the truth of the gospel, he says, which is come unto you and is in all of the world and brings forth fruit, as it does also in you since the day we heard of it and fully knew, full experientially knew the grace of God in truth, in a quality of truth. Now, I want to quickly finish this verse here, or in verse 11, or it's going to really mess me up for next week's message. And so, Lord willing, I'm hoping to be able to give that message. And so, Paul's been communicating for the Colossians, and that the will of God would be fully known, and that their walk would be in balance. Now, the ability to walk and to do the good works, though, it's supernaturally supplied. So as we move to verse 11, that's what we see here. This is something that's supernaturally supplied, to be able to walk in balance and to do the good works and to fully know the experiential of God is involved in this. And so in verse 11, the King James reads, strengthened with all might. And the word they translated strengthened, it's a present passive participle, and it's our word for power. Just being empowered. And I think they say empowered because over in, is it 2 Timothy 2:1, where you have an end preposition with the power word, be empowered. But here, this word, we don't have the end preposition. So this is the idea of, though, being enabled with power, inherent ability. Being enabled with power by all power, according to the might of the glory of Him. And so this being empowered, it's a passive. Somebody else is doing the empowering. And so our ability to walk in balance and to do the good works, it's supernaturally supplied. It's not in our power, but it's in God's power. It's in His inherent ability. And so being empowered by all power, according to the might of the glory of Him. And so in Colossians 1:29, he uses this word again for power, inherent ability. In 1:29, Paul talks about that he was striving, or he says, whereunto I labor, I toil. This is your blood, sweat, and tears kind of seminary toiling. I say that as I was looking at Courtney because I know he just finished up with finals, he would relate. Whereunto I also toil, striving, or just struggling, according to His working, which works in me, not mightily, but just in power, in power. If If we go over to Ephesians, let me go to Ephesians 3:16. Here Paul said that he would grant or freely give you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. And this is our okay, and so the King James is throwing me off here. To be strengthened by power. This is with might, just to become mighty by power through his spirit, though, in the inner man. In the inner man. So again, you see another tie to the Holy Spirit here. The Holy Spirit, this power that we might be become just mighty by power, though, through his spirit. And so we cross this word glory here, and he says, according to the riches of his glory. And when you hear glory, you know, keep in mind that the base meaning of glory has the idea of opinion, of opinion. So as we go back to Colossians 1:11, and he says, strengthened with all might, and I want to retranslate that, just enabled with power by all power, according to the might of the glory of him. The glory of him. His opinion has inherent ability. It has power. Because he's God. And so his opinion holds a lot of weight. And as he demonstrates over and over that his opinion is right, he brings himself glory. And so here he says, being empowered by all power according to the might of the glory of him. And so the idea of, I believe, of his opinion. Now, it's according to the Father's opinion of us in Christ, by the way, that we can live resurrection life. That we can live resurrection life. It's everything about our position in Christ comes from God's opinion of us. He counts us to be in Christ. And as a result of that, he has an opinion of us in Christ. And that opinion right now can have power in our life right now. As we see ourselves, as the Father sees us, as our opinions of ourselves matches up with the Father's opinion of us in Christ, we can live resurrection life. Let's just take a look at that in Romans 6:4. And I'll try and... I'm going to get in trouble because I'm going over time. So we'll... I am? Oh, I have people that tell me I go over. Let's just do this quickly here, but in Romans 6:4, now just keep in mind that glory has the idea of opinion. So that'll help you when we read 6:4 here. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead through, not by, but through the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so it's through the glory of the Father, through the opinion of the Father. The idea here is Christ was raised from the dead. And so it's also through the opinion of the Father that we should walk, order our lives in this newness of life. This newness of life in this context, I won't work it real hard here, but this has to do with resurrection life. God sees us to have died with Christ. We've been co-buried with him. That likewise, we can walk in this resurrection life. And so, when we put position into practice and we see ourselves as the Father sees us, and we show how powerful God's opinion is, we can be involved in giving God glory. Because God's opinion is always right. And so when we get involved in living in our position in Christ, we're involved with God showing how powerful and how right his opinion is. And so we end up putting into practice what he says now about who we are in Christ. And so let me just go back to 111 and I'll try and wrap this up. It says, being enabled with power by all power according to the might of the glory of him, into all patience, into everything patience. The word patience is the ability to remain under circumstances. Typically, it's used of circumstances. So it's just literally hupomeno, just to remain under. Unto all patience. Remember in Romans 5:3, tribulation works out patience. And so it works out patience. It works out God has, if God allows something in our lives, God has a purpose for it. And so we can learn patience to remain under it so that God can work his purpose in us and through us. And so we can learn patience because God has us covered. It's just temporary. Whatever we go through here, it's temporary. And so we can trust God. God has it under control. Whatever he allows in this world system, circumstances, whatever it is, we can trust him. He has a purpose if he allows it. There's no accidents in the Christian's life. And so into all patience and long-suffering. Now we get to another aspect of the fruit from the Spirit. Long-suffering, which is just a supernatural ability to control one's attitude towards others, to suffer long, to have a long holding out of the mind, a withholding of temper, even if they're noxious or obnoxious, either one. And so long-suffering, you can go, we won't even go to some of these places, but you can see long-suffering as an aspect of the fruit from the Spirit, of course, in Galatians 5:22. Paul's going to say that for a Christian, it's one of the things to put on as an outer garment in Colossians 3:12. Over in Ephesians 4:2, mentions long suffering, and bearing one another in love. We won't go there because of time. But, and then he ends the verse here, and this is where we're going to end today. It says, unto all patience and long-suffering associated with joy. And so this is a good, joy is a good place to wrap it up. Dave was there this morning with joy. Again, joy, an aspect of the fruit from the Spirit. And it's just this supernatural mental appreciation for whatever God's doing or allowing in your life. It's supernatural. It's mental. So it's not necessarily emotional. It begins in the human spirit and it can affect emotions, but this joy is in a mental appreciation. And it's supernatural and it's not dependent upon circumstances. And so as we're filled by the Spirit, we can have joy and it's not dependent upon the economy. It's not dependent upon the weather. It's dependent upon being filled by the Spirit. And then we can trust God. Because God, he can demonstrate his power and he can work his purpose in us and through us, regardless of whatever's going on in the world. And so we can trust him. He's got us covered. And everything's just temporary. We know the end of the story. We know what the end of the book says. We know where we're going to be. And so joy. The only thing I was going to just comment on joy is I wanted to end up, and so I'm kind of cutting some corners, but let's go, and I want to end here in James 1:2 regarding to joy. And so here it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into manifest temptations. Just varied temptations. Some would translate this word temptations, trials, depending on the context. But I want to just comment on this verb here real quickly, because it says, my brethren, count it all joy. And the word that they translated, count it, and if you look this up in Green's little, Thomas Sheldon Green's lexicon, this is his definitions, to lead the way, to take the lead. This word, this root has the idea of a leader or a governor. And so he's literally saying, my brethren, let all joy take the lead when you fall into manifold temptations. Let it take the lead. Whatever it is, let joy, a mental appreciation because of your relationship with God and your Savior, you can trust Him and whatever He allows into your life, and you can let joy, remember it's supernatural and it's mental, but we do have the potential to let joy take the lead, to lead the way in whatever it is we go into. And so that's where I want to end up. I know I got a little choppy here at the end. I had to cut some corners, but Lord willing, we'll pick up in verse 12 and go through verse 14 next week. Father, thank you for the day. We're grateful for the potential that we have to live in your will, to be those that do walk in balance, and that those that are manifesting the fruit from the Spirit. We're grateful for these privileges and thankful for your word and how your Spirit uses your word in our lives and the practicality of it. And just may you continue to bless us through your word. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.